law advisors, ministry's office, PMG, and the other stakeholders. And also welcome the delegation from CENTEC led by the chairperson and the CEO. We are going to start with the issue of the SAPO bill first and then put it aside. Then we proceed with the presentation from CENTEC. We hope that the issue of SAPO bill is not going to take us long. And then we'll proceed to the CENTEC presentation immediately. But before we go to the issue of the SAPO bill, just to give members some idea in terms of what we'll be doing when we are coming back from the constituency period. As from next week, Friday, we are going for constituency until we come back around the 11th of April. Our first meeting will be around the 12th of April, will be Tuesday. We are planning to put the SAPO bill when we come back, the first meeting on the 12th. We hope by that time parties should have found each other. During the constituents, they are going to engage if there's still no understanding or common a meeting of mind around the issues which are outstanding. We are under pressure because we must enter, go to the budget debate. And we've got two departments, GCIS and DOC. We are planning that Friday the 15th, when we come back, we take DOC strategic plan. Then we deal with DOC, what done. The following Tuesday, which will be 19th, probably we take both USASA and NEMISA one day, one in the morning and the other one in the afternoon, probably. 20 April, which will be the following day, we take ICASA and SABC. We are then finished with all of them. So that it creates more time for us to prepare for the budget debate. But 24 May, you are just thinking that probably must then consider formally the report for DOC and GCIS because the committee must adopt the report and the budget before we go to the budget debate and so on. If things goes well or according to the program, 31st May, we might be debating DOC. 31st May, and then 1st of June we debate GCIS, 2 days following each other. So I know that it will be strenuous for members. 31st might be DOC, and 1st of June will be GCIS. So, but that is provisional. We are still engaging the programming. You remember that the first program was reflecting DOC to be 13th of April. So we've engaged them in terms of trying to take it back because we are not going to be ready at that time. Then we said it will be not fair that that following week Tuesday we have an activity, so we'll allow members to go and prepare and everything so that by 31st they are okay, they've got a space. So we're not going to put anything that Tuesday around the debates and so on, so that members got time to prepare for their debates and so on. Then after the debate, the following 7th of June, we are provisionally saying maybe we must put a performance management system of ICASA, which is outstanding, so that we get a briefing from the department, we interact around that particular matter. The Tuesday, and which will be 14th and 21st June, we are still open, but there was a view that around 2002, the committee engaged the advertising industry. In that meeting in 2002, if you look at the report, we said we'll call them again because we're interested about the transformation in the advertising industry. So might be calling them to come and brief us what is the status quo in the advertising industry, because they are just outside the loop. I'm sure wherever they are, they think that they are on their own, they are not accountable to anyone and so on. So it will be, we might be putting that, because last time we have that public discussion, it was the 12th and the 13th of November 2002. So we might bring back those issues so that the committee can interact and understand what is the transformation, how it's going about around the particular sector. But we'll take it from there. So that is provisional. Then the last week of June, we start from 27 until the 1st of July. We have not put anything. We were still waiting, but the planning was that we go to oversight again, because that will be the last week. Then we go for a constituents in July, and so the last week of June is that we didn't put anything. We still want to apply so that we go to oversight again. It depends whether June will be the period for oversee or oversee or not oversee. We'll go to oversight. Even if it means Western Cape, but we can't stay in Parliament. So that's the proposal, General. But we will forward it to members just to interact with it and so on. We just wanted to you to have just an overarching understanding in terms of the program and the other things. I'm sure now we can go to the support. Honorable Natasha. I nearly said Comrade Natasha.
Many, many years ago, I had the chairperson. Not now. Chairperson, once again, allow me to say how impressed I am that our committee often finds each other on issues. And it would very much seem that our committee has once again found each other. I am most pleased to see the change of the wording to say concurrence of the Minister of Finance. I think it creates an element of transparency, elements of accountability. I think that it goes in accordance with PFMA regulations, and I'm quite happy, Chair, and having said everything that I said in the last meeting, I can now honestly say that this is now in accordance with what we wanted originally. And I think that the committee has really worded this document correctly, and I'm very happy with it. Thank you.
Honourable Michael,
Chair.
Michael, which document they are talking to?
Chairperson, I'm talking about the document that's been handed out.
Oh, this one.
Yes, we got it last week with certain changes.
Oh, okay.
And we spoke to that document, and this week we've been given the document back, and it has changes in accordance to our discussions. And we're saying that that's fine.
No, thanks very much. State law advisors and DOC. Can you be able now to ANC?
Thank you, Chairperson. As the ANC, as Honorable Natasha has said, we stand by this document distributed by the department to us. We fully support and behind it. This document, Chairperson, I think you are lost. This is the document that we are referring to. We agree with each and everything, every word that has been used in this document. Thank you.
I'm sure we are okay. The only thing we need, they're working. You remember the document which you presented us to the last meeting with the changes which were coming from the ANC, the proposal and so on. So what we'll need is that when we come around the 12th of April, we should be able to have the entire clean document in terms of your processes, so that we can be able to start to formally deal with that document. But I'm aware of the challenges which we are facing around finalizing the bill. I'm sure I have to highlight it to members. the Minister of Trade and Industries about the proclamation of the new Companies Act, or that bill. I'm sure it's already with the President for signing, assenting. Now, what it means? It means once that happened, we might have a problem with some of the clauses in the current bill, which refer to the old Companies Act. All what we are going to do, my proposal will be that let us finalize whatever we need to finalize ourselves, and wait for that legislation to come in, and then we'll amend according to the new Companies Act requirements. But having finalized ourselves as a committee, whatever we're supposed to do, and then if by that time that bill is not yet an act, we'll then wait until it is an act, and then we finally process the document. I think that will help us, because I don't think these honorable members, they want to pass a document which refers to an old act, which has already been repealed and so on. So state law advisors,
sorry, do you want me to expand on what you just said, sir, or what?
Will you be able with the OC that by the 12th of April we've got the clean document? But understanding, I think what you must do on that document, you must also highlight the clauses. Come back with all the clauses which will be affected by the new Companies Act and so on, so that we understand which areas. But we'll do our work, which is supposed to do, and pack everything until that legislation comes, or that bill become a legislation. Then we then finalize the bill, the current bill which we are having. Will that be okay? No, thanks very much. Tiwosi?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We are fine with the principle laid by the Chairperson. On the 12th of April, the document should be ready, and we can even go to indicate areas whereby the Companies Act might have effect on. Perhaps, Chair, we need guidance in terms of the documents that was distributed this morning, because this is the same document that was discussed or presented in the last PCC meeting, whereby members resolved to go and have a look at it and can present a view on those clauses. So I'll appreciate that, Chairperson. We need guidance, because the way it stands now, we're not sure whether we're going to take the document as it is and embrace it in the legislations, or however the issues that members still need to discuss. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Michael.
Chair, I think there is a little bit of confusion about what document we're talking about. Chair, last week we were presented with a document that was entitled Proposals by ANC Study Group. And in that particular document, it left out references to the Minister of Finance. And that was from the DA's side where we had a problem. We said that we wanted the Minister of Finance to be consulted. He didn't have to give permission, only him, but he had to be, the Minister of Communications had to consult the Minister of Finance regarding anything financial. Chair, the document that's been handed out today, which I think perhaps the member of the DOC doesn't have, is a change document. It's similar in structure to the document last time, but this time it says with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. You see, it's been changed, so it's not the same document as last time.
Natasha from the DA, myself, Stella from the ANC, we agree with this document in front of us. I don't know what does the gentleman from the DOC want, but we have said as members of this committee, we are okay. All we are asking from them is that they must go and incorporate this, and it must come as a clean document when they come back on the 12th. That's what we said. If he doesn't understand, then we'll have to consult with his colleagues outside. Thank you.
Do you have this document? other document you must incorporate as is in the legislation or in the proposed bill which we'll be dealing with on this first. State Law Advisor.
Chairperson, I'm also one of those that are a bit confused because in this colored document, the words are between brackets, so that means that's being left out. It's amendments, and I don't know whether I've got the same document as you have. The intention with the brackets is that those words must be left out.
You don't have the document proposal by ANC study group. We start with clause 3, 5, B, and C. Is that the document you have? That's the document we're talking about. Just go and incorporate it, and then we'll deal with that on the 12th of April when we come back in the current framework of the bill and so on.
Chair, sorry, just on a point of order, I am starting to get a little bit worried that people have the old document and not the new document. And I've just consulted with Honourable Stella, and I've said to her, but do people have this new document? So, Chair, can we just make sure that this document wasn't only handed to us this morning and that it was handled to everyone? Because the document that I specifically am agreeing to is the one that the changes are in yellow and the red is in bold red, and everything has been changed to with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. So that's not the document that you have. Okay, no, that's fine. That's as long as it says with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, because the document we got last week took away the Minister of Finance's... Yeah. No, it says with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance.
You see... No. There is a problem here. There is a problem here. I think you'll go confused. If we don't clarify this thing, you might not be able to handle this thing correctly. Look, maybe let's start from the beginning. The document you are talking about, Honorable Michael, is the same document as was presented last time, which removes on the areas of which does not affect finances. Remove the concurrence with the Minister of Finance and leave only the areas where there are financial implications with the concurrence of Minister of Finance and so on. So it's the same document which has been presented last week, which I requested that parties must just go back and look into it and then come back and reflect in that particular document. So it's the same one.
Chair, then I apologise, because then I am completely mistaken. I was under the impression that the red bold had been reinserted into the document, hence the reason it had been put in red bold, and that with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance had been reinserted. If it is not reinserted, Chairperson, then unfortunately I take back everything I said about this committee having found each other, because we certainly haven't, and I maintain that the approval of the Minister of Finance must be obtained before any shares are sold and before any decisions about regarding financials or subsidiaries is taken. I was under the impression this morning when this document was given to me that these sections in new red bold had been reinserted. If they haven't been reinserted, we have not found each other.
No, thank you, Honourable Member. It's as it was when it was presented last time. No, it's okay. We'll find each other, don't worry. We've got much time during constituency and before the 12th and so on. The OC State Law Advisor, just go and deal with the document and show, like last time we said, and show the ANC position on the certain clauses and the original clauses, how they reflect currently and so on. By the time when we come back on the 12th, we should have moved. Thanks very much for your insistence, because we might have committed a mistake in terms of that particular matter. So, members, can we go to Santec presentation? But when you come back, also indicate the Companies Act issue where it's going to affect the current business. We'll be talking to the other processes so that when we come back, we are clear. We might able to change at that time if the other processes have moved in a very advanced stage in terms of finalizing that particular matter. But we'll finalize it when we come back. Thanks very much, DOC, state law advisors, and your colleagues, which you are with, and so on. Members, let's go to CENTEC. But before we go to CENTEC, I was asked by certain members to say who is from DOC, who's representing DOC in relation of looking after the state entities from DOC. Okay, thanks very much. Because we need to start to hold people who come here for a certain responsibility accountable. When things we discuss here does not find its way to the relevant offices where it's supposed to. So that's why I'm raising that particular question, so that we know who's responsible, because we expect that when we leave here, people go and do what they're supposed to do so that things run efficiently and effectively, so and so on. Thanks very much, members. Chairperson, Mr. Logan Naidu, we are in your hands with your team. You can introduce your team. If you want to, or they will introduce themselves, then we can receive the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Logan Naidu. I'm the Chairperson of CENTEC from the 1st of March 2011. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present our plan, which will be done by the CEO, Dr. Mojave, on my right. Members of the board are here. I will allow them to introduce themselves so you could listen to their voices as well. We will start across the
room. Okay. Mr. Machine. My name is Perry.
Good morning. My name is Mansuni Dlamini, a non-executive director.
Good morning. My name is Monde Ndeleni, definitely not a member of the board, but I'm responsible for government relations in the organization. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matlakaza Munyai. I'm the company secretary.
Morning. My name is Dingani Dube. I'm the acting chief operations officer.
Good morning. My name is Situma Mohapi. I'm the chief executive officer of CENTEC.
I would now like the CEO to present the corporate strategy and plan. Mr. Martin.
Members, it's a pleasure to be with you to present the to make a presentation of the corporate plan that was submitted previously. The corporate plan, the members will have a presentation in front of them. That is similar to the one that was out there. The structure that we've put is we'll talk about the key messages of the corporate plan, and then we've moved some of the detail to the latter sections. Just in general, as we mentioned, the corporate plan has been submitted to the DOC and National Treasury, and in the context of CENTEC being a Schedule 3B state-owned enterprise. Just in general, the way the corporate plan has been developed in this context of the strategy that is incorporated there is essentially based on a number of factors and founded on the basis that CENTEC is a state-owned enterprise that is there to execute specific government programs. The drivers for our strategy will move most from the State of the Nation address of the President. We've incorporated the budget allocations as specified by the Minister of Finance, and we've also looked at our own corporate goals based on the history of CENTEC. In particular, looking at the State of the Nation address from the President this year, a lot of emphasis on job creation, a lot of emphasis on infrastructure development, and a specific emphasis on the role of state-owned enterprise in the context of job creation and economic growth. So we have incorporated the requirements that the state has put into enterprise like ourselves in crafting the strategy moving forward. We've also considered the new growth plan that also in particular looks at job creation and economic growth, and that emphasizes infrastructure development and in particular the development of new economies. In developing the corporate plan, we have been cognizant of the budget allocations as presented by the Minister of Finance during the budget speech. We've noted in particular the budget allocations with regard to the digital migration project and also the budget allocation with regard to the national broadband project looking at previously underserviced areas. We work within, we are an entity managed by the Department of Communications. We execute programs that are defined by the Department of Communications, and in crafting the corporate plan and the strategy moving forward, we have looked at the flagship projects that have been defined there, in particular flagship projects around job creation, digital migration, the development of broadband, and also the eSkills Institute. The context for the strategy is based on three pillars, noting that we have at least two flagship programs that we have to execute as part of the mandate: the National Infrastructure and Services for Digital Television, the DTT Migration Project, broadband connectivity, looking at underserviced areas in general, and specifically rural areas. We've noted also that CENTEC has a history. Last time in October, board members were around. They presented some of the challenges that CENTEC has, and they presented a stabilization project program for the company. We continue with the stabilization project, and those three items essentially form the pillars of the corporate strategy moving forward. Our public mandate has an ecosystem within which it operates in terms of its definition. Certainly, with regard to the digital migration project, the key stakeholders there are the broadcasters, the public broadcaster, the commercial broadcasters, and within that space is the free-to-air broadcasters and also the paid TV broadcasters, all of them who are moving into digital terrestrial television. And the context for that is the public policy context is the Broadcast Digital Migration Policy of 2008. With regard to national broadband, the context is also given by the roles that have been defined by for other stakeholders such as USASA and Infraco. Moving on, particularly with regard to the drivers from job creation and economic growth, we're looking at the context of our public mandate to provide and support enterprise development, looking at SMMEs in the ICT sector. The output of our services, we believe, should be felt by the public in general, people who consume broadcast services, who consume media in general, and also the private sector. And in developing the corporate plan, we have tried to define what the dividend looks like or is for both the public and also for the private sector in general. While optimistic about what we believe we can achieve, what is set out in terms of the corporate plan, we also understand and acknowledge that CENTEC has a reputational deficit, not only in the with the committee, not only in the public, but also with other stakeholders. It is the intention of this corporate plan to address those challenges, the deficit, address it through proper strategy alignment, excellence in execution, and engaged stakeholder management. We acknowledge that as we execute our project, our program for the next 3 years, there are matters that are still with us from the past. We acknowledge in particular the matter with the matter known as the schema matter that we can provide update on. We acknowledge matters, for example, that were raised around our aging technology. This one's that matter we address specifically with the MTF planning plan, and also the matter around our human capital. Do we have an aging engineering core? Yes, we do. Do we need to move our staff into the digital age? Yes, we do. And we believe that we address at least those two matters in the corporate plan. Just moving along, as a matter of background, CENTEC has changed. CENTEC is currently governed by the Electronic Communications Act, which provides the ability for CENTEC to provide communication services and network services. However, in developing our mission statement, our strategy, and our vision and mission statement, we have had to dig deeper and say, in the provision of the services, who are we? We believe that we are there to enable public access to communication services and facilitate the provision of ICT services, especially in rural areas and underserviced areas. We had to look back at what is our core mandate, what is the founding principle for our purpose statements. And this is in the context of the history of CENTEC. We believe that the purpose statements that CENTEC has had over the last couple of years were not strong enough to guide CENTEC into execution of its mandate. And as a result, we have reaffirmed certain principles, in particular that CENTEC is a delivery arm of government. CENTEC executes government programs, and it does so under the oversight and guidance of the Department of Communication. Our mandate is driven by government priorities and government programs, and our area of operation is defined by the Department of Communications. When we are done in terms of outcomes with what we do, we believe that we should have contributed to the development of sustainable operations that provide universal access to communication services to every citizen of the country. We believe that in addition to that, we should have a vibrant, open access media and broadcast content broadcasting industry. And we also believe that the ICT sector, particularly the SMMEs, should have moved from where they are right now to the next level, particularly in the underserviced areas. Our purpose statements, therefore, have changed. In particular, our mission statement is quite clear that we are an enabler in the industry. When we do enable, at the end of the day, there should be universal access to communication services, and that access should be affordable, sustainable, and it should address the socio-political context of the country, and it should acknowledge that the country is in a developmental state. And we believe that our program, the program that we've crafted for the next 3 years, clearly identifies the problems. Where in the developmental state are we concentrating on, and how we are going to do so in a sustainable manner. In terms of our strategy roadmap, we are, as I mentioned earlier, driven by the strategic plan of the Department of Education, which is also linked to the ministerial program. Everything that we do, we are able to align it to the Department of Communication strategy plan. Later in the document, there is a lot of detail about how we align to each of the strategic goals and each of the strategic objectives that are set out in the DOC strategic plan. I won't go into detail there with the questions. In terms of the business strategy, as I mentioned, three pillars. One is the moving the broadcast television broadcast services to the digital age, contributing to the development of the national broadband network, and ensuring access to broadband services in rural and in previously underserved areas, with particular emphasis, as we mentioned earlier, on the education sector, the health sector, and general access to government services. The flagship programs. I mentioned earlier the flagship programs that are coming out of the department. Department of Communications. The big flagship program for us, the one that started in 2006, is the migration of analog television to digital. And the strategic objective there is to make sure that all terrestrial analog television is on the digital platform by end of December 2013. And this is as announced by the Minister of Communications in January, 14th of January 2011. We've put the requirement in terms of the capital expenditure to complete the project. We've also put the requirements for the operational expenditure. The operational expenditure for which is specific support, in fact, for the broadcast industry, to ensure that everybody is able and incentivized to migrate to digital television without affecting their current analog television services. The dividends for that, we believe there's a significant social dividend and economic dividend. And those dividends are essentially guaranteed by the participation of Centec in this program. We believe that in moving the country to from analog to digital, certainly there is a lot of opportunity for content diversity, which essentially will have significant social benefits for everybody. From an economic dividend point of view, we believe government is essentially saying to the industry, to the country, through Centec, that there must be a guarantee of when the television signals will move from analog to digital. Guarantee that is provided by government. And that guarantee, as I mentioned, is December 2013. The benefits for that are economic benefits, essentially, is the spectrum that becomes available when the country moves to digital is a spectrum that can then be used variably in the telecommunication sector to significantly grow the sector, and spectrum that can also be used in the broadcasting sector to also get more broadcasters or increase the scope of the broadcasting. We do have figures about what the value of that digital dividend has been around the world. It is significant, and we believe that through government using Centec to execute this program, the economic value is guaranteed within a specific time frame. In addition, the dividend from an economic point of view is with regard to job creation, and in the document we provide specific details about how the money that government is putting into the project gets distributed into the local economies in the execution of the rollout of the program. We have provided, the project is very significant for us. We have planning is everything. We have planned the project on a quarterly basis between now and December 2013. We know exactly the capital expenditure, what is going to be used for, when is going to be used. We know exactly the funds that have been received, the allocations that have been made, and the deficits that still exist in order for us to fulfill the project. In particular, we'd like to know that there has been an additional requirements for capital expenditure as a result of the migration from changes in the standards, the standards that were announced by the Minister of Communications on the 14th of January this year. The standards moving from DVB-T to DVB-T2. We believe that there's a lot of economic benefit, in particular social benefit from that standard. And for us to migrate, there will be an additional cost. As we also, the rest of the reasons for the deficit that we're noting there is contained in quite some detail in the corporate plan that has been submitted to Parliament earlier. And also we note the MTF budget allocation. This year there is no allocation for support of the industry in the context of dual illumination. In the last year and 9 months of the project, and we've noted that that has created a deficit. And this is a deficit, in fact, that funding for that operational expenditure is essentially funding that goes to the broadcast industry so that they do not, in compliance in the execution of the broadcast digital migration policy of 2008. We'd like to note that based on the lot of funds that came in were not used in the past. The drawdown schedule was a little bit ahead of the execution schedule, and as a result, there's been an interest end on the funds received. The project as we have it right now is completely aligned. The expenditure schedule and the drawdown schedule are exactly aligned, and there will not be that kind of misalignment that causes funds to accrue interest within Centec. As a highlighting, we would like to highlight the coverage. I think it gives a sense of where the country is going to be like in terms of coverage in December 2013 when we go to when we switch off to digital television. We know that in the Northern Cape, in particular, there are areas that will lose coverage, and those areas as a result of the support of the Square Kilometre Array project. We also know that because the project is moving into, DTT is implemented on higher frequencies, there is a resultant loss in coverage in those places that are currently being served by VHF. We have the numbers, estimate of the numbers of the people who, on the basis of the current plans, are likely to lose coverage. And that number is in the range of 2 million people. But we also note that the current coverage for terrestrial television is still only 92%. That means that there's 8% of the population as we speak who do not have television at all. We believe that the migration to digital television offers the country an opportunity to solve the coverage problem once and for all. We have made policy proposals in that regard to the Department of Communications in alignment with global practice where the free-to-air channels are delivered over satellite and the free-to-air the satellite delivery of free-to-air channels is used as a viable gap filler. In that sense, we can guarantee 100% coverage of television across the country. There are other implications of that policy proposal that the Department of Communications is considering. We also wanted to give a sense of the extent of the work. The tower that you see in front of you is in the middle there is a 140-meter tower. There are towers that are bigger than that. There are more than 220 towers across the country, and each tower, the radio on top of that tower has to be changed. And the way we are then organizing the project is to make sure that the work done to the work done to change to implement the project in those 220 stations is distributed locally, and we know exactly how much of the funds that are coming in are going to go into the provinces and also into localities. With regard to the national broadband, this is a project that is related to the mandate that Centec has had for some time. And that mandate being to provide broadband services, particularly to underserviced areas and rural areas. We have designed the project plan and designed the business plan, and the capital requirements are as shown there. The social benefits, essentially, or the target for this intervention is essentially the schools in all provinces. When we cover those schools, we will also cover the clinics. And when we cover the clinics and the schools, we'll also cover the municipal areas. The committee members hosted the GCIS, I believe, on Tuesday. And I believe the GCIS noted that the Tucson centers, more than 1,200 of them in the country, only 157 of them operational. And certainly, the GCIS noted that a key requirement for making these centers functional, again, is broadband access to them. The economic benefits, we believe, are significant. There is data that is fairly verified and fairly standard that shows a correlation between broadband access and economic growth in the context of GDP per capita growth. Specifically, with just basic broadband, the data suggests that 10% increase in penetration results in a 1.5% increase in GDP per capita. We believe that there is a, in addition to serving the key stakeholders in education and health, there's a lot of economic benefit that can go into these underserviced areas. We believe that CenTech, there's a history of CenTech in the telecommunications sector. Why are we in this space? And it's clearly the reason is that no one currently on the basis of the current economic models will go into that space. There is in front of you is a standard scenario around the world where connectivity to rural areas on the basis of normal economic models from private enterprises is not profitable, so to speak, and is not profitable because of two things. Because of the need to recover the capital, the initial capital expenditure, and also the to recover the operating costs. We believe that CenTech coming in on a basis of a government program, which essentially will mean no need to recover the capital cost, but certainly become sustainable around operation costs, will move that graph such that the model will be sustainable, and also will also mean that the model will be sustainable for any other private enterprise that makes wants to make use of the network that CenTech will lay into these operations. If we don't, we believe that if CenTech does not come in, the market failure that exists in those areas will continue. In front of you, we have noted that the data that exists with regard to broadband access in schools tells us that, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal, 94% of the schools in those in the province broadband basic education schools are not connected. About 4 years ago, that percentage was 86%. That means that the deprivation of broadband access in the country is increasing, and is increasing because unless there is a specific intervention, it is not an economic model that sustains for the private sector. The situation in Eastern Cape is 97%, and so on and so forth. The intervention that we are proposing with regard to the National Broadband Plan that we mentioned, and that is detailed in the corporate plan, essentially targets to clean up that deprivation completely within no more than 5 years, and certainly doable over the next 3 years, which means that within that period, all those schools will be connected. Around there, all the clinics will be connected, and people will have access to government services, for example, via the multi-purpose community centers that were mentioned by GCIS earlier this week. The benefits in e-learning, in e-health, in general e-government services will be immense, and we believe that there will be a significant increase in the quality of delivery of education and health services. We have looked at KwaZulu-Natal in quite a lot of detail. the CAPEX program that we've put is fairly detailed. It covers KZN, it covers all of those schools, and it's doable within the period that we've set ourselves in this MTF period. Lastly, we have had, we acknowledge that our network is old. The committee last time when the board was here, there was acknowledgement of the problem, and the committee challenged the board to see how to address that. We have put a program of increasing, of catching up with the backlog of maintenance across our network. And this covers in particular the radio services, support for community broadcasters, and making sure that there is no break in the provision of television, analog television services between now and ASO. I think it's quite clear that the base has been low and the average over the next years is quite significant. We believe that the benefits there, economic and social benefits, particularly economic benefits of the broadcasters, are immense. We have, the program is governed by a set of corporate KPIs, and these corporate KPIs address the key, the three pillars, the stabilization of the company, the rollout of the digital platform, television platform, and also the national broadband platform. In particular, the in terms of the stabilization, we have looked at three key fundamental areas. We have looked at our human capital. We have noted that in order to execute this program, there has to be a significant increase in the quality, the depth and breadth of our leadership core, both in terms of strategic leadership and operational leadership. We are putting an investment there. In terms of our operational staff, we are also putting an investment not only in getting a sense of where people are, but also investing into skills development programs. The second pillar in stabilization is financial stability. Last time when we were here in October last year, in fact at the end of the second quarter of this financial year, it was noted that the collection rate, the monthly collection rate on invoices was sitting at 77%. We've moved that collection rate as we speak to 95%, and that is reflected in our cash positions. We would like to continue doing that, and we've set ourselves a very strict performance target of not going below 95%. We know exactly the value of 95%. It means that on the basis of our income statement, for example, that we can guarantee ourselves cash from operations of you know, significant cash operations. We have noted also the extent of the past fruitless and wasteful expenditures and also irregular expenditures. We have set ourselves a very stiff target that is well below the materiality level that the minister has given to the company. In particular, we have set a minimum of 800,000, for example, on that on the, that type of expenditure, which is way below the materiality of 2 million that has been set for us. And in particular, I just want to emphasize that this set of KPIs, particularly around fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditures, was going to go down into the operation. Every manager will have this type of target, performance target on them. Yeah, performance target on yes. The we have noted that the past performance of Centec has been was the bad performance was contributed to certain products performing badly, which resulted in a lot of cash moving from core operations and broadcasting in particular. We have set ourselves a target such that each product group is profitable. Last time when the board was here in particular, the way products that were being exited out of, and these products were had a history of unprofitability. That program is ending in within a week, where all those products will have been completely shut down, and all the financial adjustment made, such that the target for having every product group profitable is achieved in the next financial year. Our customers, we understand our customer base, and we understand the challenges that our customers have had traditionally with our service. We understand the public broadcaster as a customer. We understand the commercial broadcasters. We also understand the community broadcast as a customer group. We have put a lot of investment, as displayed over there, on improvement of customer service and proactiveness in the way we manage our customers. We've put targets on our billing problems, to solve our billing problems. We've put targets to ensure that we can allow our people to travel around the country and fix customer problems. We've ensured also that we have the customer interface across the management core is intense, it's regular. We believe that in the detail of the corporate plan, the customer service program will go significant. Customer service program in line also with the additional investment that we're making in our operations and maintenance program will go a long way in moving our customer service levels up significantly. The targets for digital television, 75 by the end of the first financial year is 74% coverage, all of it on DVB-T2, and then over the next year, then we'll be able to reach more than 84% coverage, all of it on DVB-T2, such that by December 2013, we will have been able to cover the entire country with DTT, all of it on DVB-T2. just moving along, the question then is, do we have, again, the capacity to deliver on this very broad program? We have looked at our mandate. We have looked at how we operate. As we change our strategic focus, as we escalate our operational focus, we have said we have to do things differently. In particular, we as a government, because we're executing government programs, because we're executing those programs in the context of specific interventions, similar to the ones that I just presented earlier, we need to have a very, very strong capacity to engage in the definition of those interventions. And that definition is essentially looking at the socio-economic impact of what we do, making sure that whatever we say we're going to do, the rest of the industry is clear, the rest of the industry can see value in our participation in there. The rest of government can see value in our participation. And when we are done, we can define our success or failure in terms of what we have done for the public in general, and also for the industry. So, putting a lot of focus in beefing our the capacity to engage at a strategic level in defining interventions. We're also saying that we have two flagship programs that require focus, and so we've said we need to have strong capacity in designing these interventions properly. And also implementing those interventions. And the idea there is to make sure that the interventions that we require to address, that there is focus in their execution throughout. Very, very, very important part, such that the DTT program, for example, is not swallowed within operations. It is clearly managed as a significant program. And then we say, let us maintain those interventions. And in order to do that, we then need to have a very, very strong internal core, certainly a highly beefed up human capital department or capacity to make sure that we can move our people across into the digital age, a very well-functioning finance team to make sure that we don't go back to where we come from, but most importantly, to make sure that we have a highly focused and extremely engaging corporate services team that essentially polices, and I'd like to be specific around that, polices ourselves around compliance issues. We cannot go back to a situation where we have non-compliance on PFMA, on regulations. With regard to that, our organizational structure and our organizational model is going to be based on having focus on governance, this at the board level, strategic engagement in terms of defining interventions, designing and implementing the interventions, making sure that they flow through from beginning to end, maintaining those interventions in terms of our maintenance programs, and then very strong organizational support. This requirement, this model has been accepted, and there will be an organization. There's going to be a lot of effort to fill in the management core that is required to execute this program, and the executive positions that are required will be filled in no less than 6 weeks from where we are right now. In terms of the financial plan, very briefly, the MTF program is a positive P&L program throughout the 3 years. I think we know that there was a bit of a history prior to this financial year where Centec would bring a negative P&L proposal out here. And it's, we believe that it's significant that we still have a positive P&L while still executing these programs, in particular around our operations and maintenance. Would like to note that our investment in people captured there as personnel cost is increasing significantly from essentially a single digit base over the last 2 years to a double digit base. And this is a statement of our intention to make sure that we are well capacitated, we train our people in order to execute our mandate and for the benefit of the industry. Our balance sheet, I think, our balance sheet looks fine. There is a significant movement in property and plant, our fixed assets, and this is just based on the investments that are coming in support of our flagship program. So move very quickly there. In terms of our cash flow, I believe, earlier on I addressed the issue of Centec traditionally taking government grants where the drawdown schedule was not in line with the execution schedule of projects. If you look at the cash flow at the bottom, you'll see that, in fact, that scenario disappears throughout the MTF project. So the money that comes in terms of drawdown does not sit in our bank. It moves into implementation. Then the last issue is risk. We've put a very a significant program out. The risk management plan, it is in the corporate plan, as submitted, and it's important for us to acknowledge the risk and also look at how to demonstrate how we're going to mitigate those risks and also show that we have funds to mitigate those risks. The capitalization risk is the one that is facing the flagship projects. We mentioned the capital, the deficit on the capital funding, the deficit on the operational funding for the industry, there is a bit of a deficit on the national broadband funding as we have it. But we believe that the focus on mandate, the focus on the benefits, the economic dividend, we can show that these funds, as they come in, they have an output that is far bigger than the quantum of the funds coming in. As we execute, particularly the flagship programs, we also note that there's a lot of equipment that we'll be sourcing from external. We do consume significant inputs from foreign suppliers, and it's important that we know the exchange rate fluctuation, and we have ways of concrete ways of dealing with that. In that regard, we're certainly going to go to National Treasury and get specific guidance about how to manage our exchange rate risk. Concentration risk, this is an operational risk, which especially with regard to our broadcast services. SABC is still provider of 54% of our revenues. Currently we have ETV and Mnet as our other customers. We're building infrastructure for all of the broadcasters. It's important that as we move forward, we reduce the concentration risk, and this is as a corporate risk in general. And the way to do it is essentially to make sure that we pursue proper acquisition strategies, customer acquisition strategies. We need to go to the SABC and say, this is the reasons why you want to use us. You know, we need to go to Mnet and ETV, where we know that they have lots of choices, given the ECA, and say, these are the reasons, strategic reasons why we believe that you should come with Centec. We believe we're very close to clearing that concentration risk, especially as we move into DTT. We talked about capacity. The one issue there is natural attrition. A very big portion of our management core, of our engineering technical core, is will be going through our retirement soon. We have to have a plan, a way to mitigate the risk of losing those key engineering skills. And that is that plan is supported by the funds that we've put into development of people, into recruiting, into retention, retaining skills. Our revenue assurance, just from a corporate stability point of view, financial stability is quite a big risk. If you look at the KPIs, we have put specific, quite tough targets on our revenue assurance. And then finally, there's always competition. We operate within the ECA, within a policy that is opening up the industry. And no way attempt to close the industry and to go against that policy. It is our job to make sure that even as, for example, we develop the national broadband, it is very clear what the value proposition is to the industry, such that we are not seen, per se, as competitor, but as an enabler to the industry and to the public in general. I must say that the last time when the board was here, there were many more risks. The risk on financial stability, the risk on the ability of the company to operate as a going concern was very high. The committee was highlighted to the issues around the cash position of Centec. I'm happy to announce that as we speak right now, the Centec, and I'd like to put some figures around, the cash position of Centec, uncommitted, is sitting at 460 million. And of that, 321 million is coming directly out of operations. And that is essentially a statement of the success, I believe, of the stabilization program that the board put to the committee in October last year. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks very much, CEO. Members, that was the presentation from Centec. We can engage the presentation. But if it's clear, there is no harm to agree, then we are off. We'll meet 12 April. Honorable Michael Sebe, Velma Kekat.
Che, I think it's only fair that once a committee has taken apart an organization like Centec, like we did last time, it's only fair for us to comment when they've done something good. And the marked improvement is noted, it is appreciated, and it is hoped that it will carry on forward. It is a substantial improvement as to what we've seen in the past. It is very promising the way things are moving forward, and clearly the stabilization program has taken effect and is being executed correctly. I think the sheer fact that the income has increased to 95%, your collection, I think that is a fantastic achievement. It's no mean feat, and well done on that one. Chair, also what I like is when there is a problem, and the problem is identified and it's acknowledged that there's a problem. For example, in KwaZulu-Natal with the schools, we see that there's a problem, it's acknowledged. You know, no one tries to sugarcoat it. It is what it is and it must be fixed. And that's what I'm liking specifically with this presentation, because in the past, you know, things try and get whitewashed, and we've seen the problems, we've acknowledged them, and now we're going to fix them. And I think it's very promising, and my sincere congratulations to CENTEC for what they've done so far, and I have all hope that you go forward like this, because it's most encouraging.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let me also join Honourable Michaels. I don't want to repeat here with, but really, CENTEC has done us proud today. But Chair, just two things I just wanted to be 100% sure of. That the CEO did mention that they do have a strong capacity in implementing the digital migration. But I just want to check that in terms of the monitoring tools, do they have a strict and tight tool to make sure that this project doesn't fail? Because as you look into their presentation, it seems everything is good and well. But just to be sure that in the last days, you don't get surprises, I will be sure on that. And in regard to top risk, I see there's a risk in regard to insufficient shareholder funding of capital infrastructure programs to meet obligation to fund capital projects. And in terms of your controls, you're saying CENTEC has made specific requirements for funding this project from the shareholder. Are there any time frames? How far are you now in terms of if there's any engagement with the shareholder? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Trohan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was basically looking for my question, but I found it. Thank you, CENTEC, for your presentation. Just going back to page 11. I just want some clarity there. Legacy challenges. Screamer. What is happening regarding that issue there? Get some clarity there, please. And then on page 22, at the bottom, job creation, is that, am I reading that correctly? Is it 20,000 or what does it say? It talks over there about non-CENTEC. Sorry, the interpreter is not getting the question, just hold this. In the brackets, you talk about non-CENTEC there. Why is it in brackets there? Can I just get some clarity? Thanks.
Honourable Kekan.
Thank you. Chair, mine is also on job creation. I'm interested to know the national target that we have for job creation, and in fact also what categories of jobs are those, and lastly, where they actually train, you know, when there are opportunities, when you go back to our constituency, because things are not easy in our competency. People fight, especially the youth, for this and that, but you can just see basically this is because people are unemployed. So we'd like to know where you train. Is it in-service training, or do you have special colleges that train in your field so that if need be, we can refer constituencies? Thanks.
Thank you very much, members. CENTEC, can you respond?
So thanks very much, Chair. Thanks very much, members, for your comments and the questions. Just in terms of how we manage the project, the execution is everything. So we've organized our structure to be able to create the focus to do the management of the project. That's number one. Number two, one of the things that we have done is that, I mean, this being probably the biggest project in broadcasting in the history of the country, you know, we need to have visibility of it. One should be able to go to Centec, go to a room. In fact, it has to be a war room, which we have called it a war room, and get statistics of exactly where things are, where the project is, where the money is, you know, the signals that have been distributed. So that war room, that becomes the center of you know, a public place where all our broadcasters to be part of that war room. They can come anytime. The committee can come anytime to be able to look at the progress of this project. So it's highlighting at a very public level where we are with the project so that no one is surprised. Least of all our customers, least of all the committee members, parliament in general, and then our government. So that facility will be around, will be completed in about 2 months or so, and it will give you that exposure. But also by breaking down our structure, organizational structure, and exposing the function that deals with the implementation of, say, these interventions, with DTT being one of them, putting the project team within the structure, it means that, you know, there is focus and certainly accountability and direct access from an oversight point of view of that function to the board in order to be able to get that managed actively. In terms of the tools, we have printed a project plan that will be available to members. That also shows you where we're doing what, when. And as this thing changes, again, we can make that available to members. I don't think it's going to change. It cannot change because nothing can go wrong in here. The project plan is here, and I think it will give you comfort also that it's fairly detailed. It talks about each and every one of those 200 transmitters, each and every one of the towns that we have to work on in order to bring the thing to DTT. So this, I think the members will have the bid. Yes. The capitalization risk, certainly it's something that we made this presentation has gone to the DOC and the minister. So there's an awareness of this capitalization risk. And I believe that it will be through the Office of the Shoulder Management and at all levels, actually, is something that will be resolved because the reasons for the shortfalls are understandable. It's migration to digital, to the new standard. The economic benefits of that are clear. I think the business case for the additional funds is very, very clear to everybody. And then in terms of the shortfall on dual elimination, it is the dual elimination, we believe, it is there as a government contribution to ensure that broadcasters move with the country towards digital migration. Every time during the process of migrating, the broadcasters will have two channels, SABC1 on analog and digital. The revenue is generated from the analog channel. Same thing as ETV, same thing as MNET. We Centec incurs the cost of running the digital channel. So I think the policy is very clear. It says, let us not charge the broadcasters for the additional digital channel because otherwise then they won't be able to afford to go migration. So because of the extension of the time for switchover, acknowledging all the things that have happened in the past, there is another year and 9 months that we need to support the industry and continue supporting the industry. Again, the business case is very clear. By doing that, we guarantee the analog switch off in December 2013, and the benefits of that economically and financially, economically, are immense. So I think we've made the business case. The business case is very clear, and I believe we won't have a problem with that. Certainly, something that is will be required to come back and inform the committee about. Then on the issue of Skima, let me just say that the Skima matter has been sent to ICASA. And we have given ourselves a deadline to... a deadline to bring this matter to finality. There is a legal background to that, and if I may, through my chair, that we probably communicate in a different way about the matter in order not to parallel with the legal process.
Safe to say that you can expect a comprehensive response in relation to this matter in the next fortnight. Thank you.
In terms of issues around job creation, I'd like to refer members to page 76 of the presentation. I think that I'll answer those two questions at the same time. What types of jobs? Where are these jobs? And what is the nature of these jobs? Right. Essentially, what you're saying is there's grant money coming in, and Centec will buy equipment from people. For example, when we have to improve our power supply, those generators, we buy them locally. The transmitters, we probably buy them outside. And then there's a lot of work to be done. Most of the work, in fact, is in the civil space. Even that tower that we talked about, most of them are old towers. They have to be refortified, and a lot of civil work has to be done there. Then there's a lot of mechanical work that has to be done on those. These are high-level mechanical engineering and implementation work. And then electrical work to be done. So what we have done is, based on the detailed project plan that we've made available to the members, and flowing through that, flowing through it in such an extent that we take a project plan, we put the work, what is supposed to be done, and then we say how much is that supposed to cost, and when is the money required. That goes into the financial plan for the project. And then of the same base, we then say, where is X, Y, and Z going to be done? So it's going to be, we're going to go to Eastern Cape on a particular day to do this on a particular base tower. Then we say, how much work is it going to take? Maybe 3 weeks there. And then we say further, we want that work to be done mostly from the locality, right? So we'll take the number of hours that are required to do that are required to execute that job, and say, this now it becomes my challenge to my team, and say, I want to make sure that we have this work is distributed in that locality. What it does is that it actually, it's concretely and practically and in a way that is the right way, moves, it involves the rest of the country in the execution of this project. So the numbers that we're talking about are 20,000 are numbers that have been generated from base data. And is a total number of equivalent man hours that will be spent in the project between now and the end of the project. And if we look at the next page, I mean, it's slightly small. The next page talks about the money, how much of the grant money coming in is going to go into those localities. For example, we know that there is at least 127 million that is going to go to local suppliers of equipment, and to the extent that we can get those local suppliers in the localities, the better. Then we also know that at least 117 million of the money that is coming in is going to go into implementation work, and that definitely is something that is going to go into the localities. And we also know how much of that, how that 117 is distributed. So, I mean, that gives us a sense of what does 20,000 mean, where does it come from, and what kind of jobs are these. I think if we go to last time when the board was here, there was mention of the rigors. Rigors, is that low scale? Rigors are those people who go up that tower. with a very heavy transmitter. I mean, the top of the tower is a picture on the right. So somebody goes up that tower and changes the transmitter, you know, puts initially analog to digital, DVB-T, and then now they have to go and do DVB-T2. But, I mean, another bit. I mean, DVB-T won't be there, certainly for DVB-T, because the antennas have to change. Now, that's a very high-skilled job over time. I mean, from an NQF point of view, even though the initial qualification is small, the skill is quite high. And those are the kind of people that we're talking about in terms of the involvement in this project.
Any questions, members? No questions? Honorable Kekana?
I hear that you're saying transmitters are, you have to import them from overseas. Is it because locally this is a high technological skill that we can start? You see, if we don't make a starting point, we'll keep on even after 50 years buying things from overseas, while we could at least start here and create the expertise. We might not be able to compete with the old industries overseas for now, but at least we're making a start. You know, we can't live forever with a society that is always unemployed. We're crying foul, we're crying unemployment. It can't happen all the time. So when is it going to create jobs? Foremost in our minds is if you're buying anything overseas, even if it is cheap, the point is, can't we start? Are you absolutely sure it can be done here? Because we really need to break with the old tradition of buying overseas. I was telling them in the township, there's a boy who does belts for men. And one guy was saying, Nana, buy mine, Italian. And I was saying, why are you creating jobs for Italian companies? And don't complain that there are no jobs in South Africa. We are into that tradition that you think if anything is overseas is the best, anything local is rubbish. So that's why you hear us persisting on this issue. Unless we promote it, it will not happen. Because where we come from, Utwagama Tariani are the best. And we don't realize the more you buy Italian bell shoes, you're creating jobs for people of Italy, and your own people are crying here. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. Or acting chief. Look, members, I'm sure we all agree. CENTEC has just exceeded our expectation, and we've been receiving the presentations. The only thing to emphasize, I think it becomes important that the public entities, they do have people when others present, so that they can be able to learn some of the best practices or models in terms of the presentation and so on. I think that would help in going forward so that we can take 3 presentations a day, not one, because we want to engage long and other things and so on. That will save our time as members to do other things and so on. But thanks very much, Chairperson. I know that you are brand new. If a person is brand new, we are brand new. I know the CEO is not that brand new, but is still brand new, and so on and so on. Welcome, Tate Mashile, Paris from CENTEC. The last time we interacted, you were in ICASA, telling us about the infested sea and the sharks, the viciousness of the industry and the other related things and so on. So thanks. I think in a nutshell, thanks very much, CENTEC. But I must say, members, if you remember last time when Centec presented, it was as good as today. But few months down the line, I don't know what happened. We hope next year, when you present the strategic plan, the same team will be here to do that one experience, what we've experienced last time and so on. Thanks very much. Thanks.